Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to the All Lions podcast, made possible thanks to Fan Nation and the Arena Group, SI.com. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. Boy, what are we going to talk about today? I guess we got to talk about in the new year. Unfortunately, we will talk about football and decisions and the play of Jared Goff. Obviously, we're going to touch on a lot of football talk from the Lions game against the Cowboys. But like everybody else, got to weigh in on what the hell happened with the officials. Were the Lions to blame? Who's at fault for the complete mess that took place at AT&T Stadium? Is it Brad Allen? Is it Taylor Decker? Dan Skipper? Dan Campbell? We're going to break it all down and we got to look at it because it really does have ramifications for the postseason, the potential success the Lions could have had this year. All of it has to be talked about. But first and foremost, want to wish everybody a happy new year. It's 2024. It's a great opportunity now to look at this Detroit Lions football team in the realistic opportunity that they do have. They're still in the postseason. They're still going to host a home playoff game, whether it be against an old friend or a division rival. We'll talk about all that on this week's episode of the podcast. Now, many new ways to consume the All Lions podcast, whether it be on video, on Twitter, or X, or whatever the hell you're calling it, or via our website, which you can visit 24/7, si.com/NFL/Lions. We got videos, highlights, insider analysis. We cover the Lions, and we're out there at Allen Park bringing you all the information that you covet for the last 5 years covering the Detroit Lions. So, man, I think, like everybody else, gotta have a realistic talk regarding NFL officiating and what it was like to cover that game. It was crazy. When you look at it, it was a great football game. It lived up to the billing. Most people, Dan Campbell said it, felt like the game would come down to the wire, a real close contest. Maybe not as high scoring as many people would expect, but Aaron Glenn matched wits with Dan Quinn and was able to really put up a solid defensive effort. Yeah, the secondary gave up big chunk plays. CeeDee Lamb had the over 80-yard touchdown. Yes, a critical mistake by the Lions and Derek Barnes and things like that. But in the end, the Lions made plays to win the game. It comes down to it. Jared Goff has a couple interceptions. Definitely a factor that we're going to talk about in regards to the potential of Goff maybe blowing it for the Lions in a big playoff game. But just like he's been doing, you do have to, if you're going to criticize Jared Goff, you also have to praise him for rebounding all this year from adversity, being able to, when the chips are down, when you know the offense needs to make a play, he stepped up, marched the team right down the field, and was able to score a touchdown quickly. And I think I had a sense that, okay, basically before the drive started, you knew if the Lions score a touchdown, Dan Campbell's going for two. That's his MO. You knew it was going to happen. You knew that Dan Campbell was going to be aggressive and want to put the game away in regulation, not wanting to go to overtime. Now, everyone's going to debate that, and I'll give my opinion later in regards to what I would have done. But in the end, the Lions executed what they were supposed to do. You have a beautiful setup. Obviously, credit to Ben Johnson for disguising that Taylor Decker was an eligible receiver. Jared Goff finds him in the end zone. Everybody's celebrating. Now, for me, it's a little different in that, okay, you have a game story ready and you want to be timely in its release. So obviously, you know, the first kind of draft is looking at a loss and kind of some factors in regards to Goff and not overcoming obstacles, things like that. You have your draft. Taylor Decker scores a touchdown and immediately the chaos surrounding everything, you start writing about, okay, Taylor Decker, one of the lifelong Lions, an individual that's been through so much, being able to effectively score a touchdown, the history of Taylor Decker scoring, all that stuff, you start writing it. All of a sudden, like 2 minutes later, then the decision is made that they believe that the way in which Decker, the way in which the Lions declared which lineman was eligible is not done properly. You see the footage. The play happens. The Lions are celebrating. Then the flags come out. Then they recognized, Brad Allen and the crew recognized that maybe something was wrong. But in the age of video, everybody saw after the fact, Taylor Decker goes up to him and makes the correct decision, makes the correct call to go up to him. Unfortunately, what happens is the official is too confused based on the past. He assumes that it was Dan Skipper that declared as eligible. It's a mistake. Clearly, you know it's a mistake. The league has punished Brad Allen and his crew. They're not working in the postseason. But that's not enough. When you make a call in that moment, when you make a decision that alters the game, that could potentially alter the Lions' potential in the postseason, maybe his officiating future should also be in jeopardy. I would argue that it should be. That when you make a call like that and you're clearly wrong, the pool report is so disturbing. If you actually got a chance to read it, there's no acknowledgement of a mistake. There's no acknowledgement that Taylor Decker did indeed approach the official and declare as eligible, which makes the play a legal play. There's no acknowledgement by the official. And you would say, why would you take that stance? Why would you refuse to admit fault? I don't know. I look at it and I say that these officials tend to not want to admit publicly when they make mistakes, even though it's so clear. National pundits see it. Players understand what happened. Players that understand what goes on in the realm of play calling, they understood the meaning of what Ben Johnson was trying to do and Dan Campbell. The part that I think pisses everybody off, which should, is that Dan Campbell prepares the officials, letting them know, hey, 68 is going to be eligible. We might run a two-point conversion trick play. It is discussed that the potential for this happening is out there. So for the officials to still get it wrong, Detroit is up in arms. And finally, many, many members of the national media are also up in arms. They're looking at it and going, in a game of this magnitude, how do you not get it right? How do you blow the call? How do you not correctly understand the situation and allow for the Lions to have a successful two-point attempt? It ruined a good game. And so in that moment, you're realizing, oh no. For me, I was in question mode because I was typing furiously. I had no clue. I initially assumed that the Lions made a mistake, that that's what was reported. And then you start seeing the reports online and the videos that come up, you start to recognize, oh, Taylor Decker and the Lions, by the letter of what should be done, accomplished what they needed to accomplish. And then post-game, you hear Jared Goff, who rarely steps out of line or out of order, says, point blank, Taylor Decker did what he was told. We told him to go over there. He does. And Dan Skipper did not utter a word. He did not declare as eligible. Yet the officials got it completely wrong. Dan Campbell furious, as he should have been. I don't even know how he didn't have more profanity come out of his mouth after a contest in which you stood toe-to-toe with a division contender, with a conference contender, I should say. When you stand toe-to-toe with another team in the NFC that is a team that really people respect and has a lot of weapons across the board, and you go toe-to-toe with them for 60 minutes, and you potentially had a game-winning play, the frustration was evident. Dan Campbell, really, I thought could have been, you know, maybe underreacted. I think that he could have really took the fine, said some things, and he's been diplomatic. But, man, again, covering the team now for 5 years and following the Lions for over two decades, chalk it up. Another situation in which the league screwed the Detroit Lions. You've seen it back in the day on Monday Night Football, with Seattle punching the football out, not getting penalized, the Calvin Johnson rule, which took a win away from the Lions. In this case, another facet that's wild to me is that reports are surfacing that the NFL and some of their former officials that have worked are coming out and saying that the Lions engaged in gamesmanship and deception. I mean, yeah. The idea is not to telegraph exactly what you're doing, hence play action, hence putting people in motion, disguises, pre-snap motions, eye candy, as they call it. Yeah, there's a lot of deception trying to go on to gain an advantage. But legally, That's the point. Legally, the Detroit Lions wisely attempted to put their roster in a position to succeed. And when an external factor, like a terrible officiating crew, which you now see their records on blast, in some of the worst calls that have been made in 23, Brad Allen and his crew are part of it. And which really begs the question, why can't the Lions in a marquee game get one of the crews that's known for being successful and not making themselves part of the story? It marred the game. So so in my situation, I'm trying to gather information, trying to see what's going on, trying to understand what exactly eligibility, the exact rules are. Can one lineman, two linemen, where the receiver needs to be? All those things are getting looked at again and reiterated to understand what's going on. And then once the realization hit me that the Lions were screwed, it's just can't help it. You just feel like you were cheated. You just feel like the Lions were cheated a win or an opportunity on defense to stop the Cowboys with 20 seconds left. You feel like, again, in Dallas, again, the Detroit Lions are in a position where they are poised for success but get it yanked away. It's frustrating. So I had a feeling of dejection. That was my feeling that came over me was, first of all, a great game that you get to cover is ruined. A great game that you're watching intently, looking at, you know, obviously the talk is going to be about the call. And it's just completely overshadowed what was a good game. And yeah, at All Lions, we'll get back to the analysis of Dan Campbell's decision in regards to not kicking the extra point, the play of the defense, the epic mistake of Derek Barnes. All that is going to be covered this week. But the talk just has to be about the fact, again, the Detroit Lions and their just being a team that for whatever reason is always and oftentimes on the wrong end of calls in big moments. Harkens back, everybody remembers the Dallas game in the postseason when the Lions had a top defense. The officials correctly throw a flag only to pick it up in one of them. I still don't think I've seen that ever done again in recent times where a pass interference in such a big moment is correctly called, but then is taken away. So you're just left feeling like you got cheated. That's how you feel. You feel like you stood toe-to-toe with a team that people respect, and you feel like there was some foolishness going on. There was some tomfoolery. There was some shadiness, and it marred a great game. And that's the feeling I had writing and covering it and looking at it. It's just you feel dejected. You feel like, ugh, you just, you know, you feel also, you should feel a sense of anger because of what it could have cost the Lions. Now the Cowboys are the number two seed. If the matchup ends up being that way again, you're going to have a situation in which you got to go back there and handle business against the Cowboys. Yeah, the Lions took the right stance and said that they want to go out there and handle business, but aren't you a little bit concerned that if the Lions are in the postseason in Dallas, that they're going to be cheated, that they're going to be having to face not only a great Cowboys team, but the officials as well? It's frustrating. It's annoying that you can't just feel like, hey, based on the merits, you go out there and you play your best football, you deserve a victory, and you don't get it. It's frustrating, it's annoying, it's agitating, it's really quite befuddling that the NFL, with the level of resources, is so cheap, so unwilling to have their officials be experts in what they do. It's something that's talked about all the time. The officiating in the NFL is poor, is piss poor at best, and to have a game like that come down to where the talk is of officials, it's disturbing. It's frustrating. It's annoying. It's triggering for a lot of people. And really, in the end, for the Lions, the most important part is you maybe cost a good football team another opportunity to have another home playoff game. That's key for this Detroit Lions team. Yeah, Dallas is indoors and the Lions play well in prime time, and it's another situation in which maybe it's a pathway to the NFC title game. But I would much rather play the Dallas Cowboys at Ford Field than I would playing them in Dallas. And so it looks like, for the most part, the Lions are going to be the number three seed. And it's going to take a little bit of help, losses by the Cowboys and Eagles, and a win by the Lions against the Vikings to potentially be the number two seed. But odds indicate, the overwhelming odds favor, that the Lions are going to be the number three seed, which puts, you know, a very interesting contest in line, maybe with the Rams or Packers. So we'll see what ramifications this does have. Also, too, depending on how certain things go, you could end up playing Philadelphia in the second round, could end up playing Dallas. We'll see. The 49ers right now, the number one seed overall, they've clinched it, locked down. So if you're in the NFC title game, the game that you need to be in to get to the Super Bowl, the Lions got to go out to San Francisco. And, you know, that could be quite interesting in late January, what that would look like. So it's infuriating. It's frustrating. You sit here and you wonder, you know, all the work that the Lions do, that being, you know, great leaders in the community. You see the ownership group of the Lions being part of the league and helping make the game as good as it can be. One of the factors, one of the most crucial factors, still continues to haunt the Detroit Lions. And it's wild that some of the spin is being looked at and talked about having blame assigned to Taylor Decker and Ben Johnson and the Lions for being deceptive. It's unfortunate. I mean, in a league where accountability is so key, when the commissioner comes out and harshly punishes those that violate rules, when something happens from the league, they run and hide and they start to spin things in a way that just isn't fair. It's unfortunate. It could be, like I said, we're going to have a column soon coming out at All Lions about just how potentially damaging this one call could be for the Lions season. It could derail a season that could have been special. Now, it'll be up to the Lions to rebound. I think many people will look at the silver lining and say, all right, you got screwed again by officials. Can this team use it as a rallying cry to maybe use it as a launching pad to have success? You would hope that the Detroit Lions will rebound and they'll make the Vikings pay for the sins of the league and it'll rally again, this football team. But here's the crazy part is, like I said, I expect it to happen again in the playoffs. I expect bad calls to potentially derail what the Lions can accomplish. I mean, how can you sit here and be confident in the officials getting it right? In a game where we've seen all year Aiden Hutchinson held mercilessly, you see calls where you would start to think, okay, Aiden Hutchinson's getting held quite a bit, and it's pretty blatant. I mean, arms around his neck, two guys tugging at his jersey, not getting the calls. You could see that again in the postseason. You could see a great play from Aiden. Hey, anytime they want, they can call, you know, a holding call on the offensive line. How do you be confident in the officials doing the right thing? That's all we're asking is for consistency, make the right play, and get it right. The fact that there's no, you know, that happens and nobody calls down, nobody sees it properly, nobody's able to decipher. I mean, literally, a big man wearing 68 is, you know, going near an official and the official is just kind of haphazardly walking and just as if assumes that he knows who's the person declaring. It's unfortunate. It the crazy part is that you would think that the rule could be changed instantly, but nope, it will not. You're hearing whispers that the rule will not be changed. So it's infuriating. It's frustrating. It's something that will be talked about and will live in Lions lore. Another screw job in Dallas, another opportunity for the Lions to have success and take a step forward, only to have an outside force take it away. But this week, you know Dan Campbell will get his football team ready. I think the question now this week is obviously first, we're going to get an update. Hopefully, we'll have an update on Jameson Williams and get good news on him and Sam Laporta. They were a little bit banged up. Reporters on scene saw that they were leaving the locker room looking like they were limping and looking a little banged up. We'll see what type of injury situation the Lions suffered coming out of a tough game at Dallas. And you got a game now where there is implications for the playoffs, and you recognize that there's going to be questions to Dan Campbell regarding should he sit his starters. I don't believe that. I know, obviously, the offensive line health is key. But for a young football team that needs the experience, I think that the Lions should follow the manner in which they've done and handled business. If a player's healthy and ready to go, they should go out there. They should not play the game with any fear of injury. It happens, and you hope that your roster is deep enough that you can overcome an injury. I would expect Jared Goff to play. I would expect him to play against the Vikings. I would expect Dan Campbell to continue his mantra of, hey, we got something to play for. We got the opportunity to be the number two seed, and we want to do the best that we can, put the best foot forward for the fans that are paying good hard-earned money to come out there and participate. So I think that we'll see. I could be wrong, but I would be someone right now that would, if you ask me, hey, are the Lions going to rest their starters? I'm going to say no. I would say that they're going to play and they're going to go out there and try their absolute best to get their 12th win of the season. And if it ends up they're the number three seed, then so be it. I think that's the way Dan Campbell is going to approach it. Because once you start doing that, now you look at it and you say, okay, 2 weeks without, you know, game action, a situation in which you miss a game, and how does that disrupt rhythm, timing for these players? I think the players are in rhythm. I think that his answer, he was asked about it. He said, look, the players will rest when the season's done. I think they're in the thick of things. They understand that playing and getting the reps is, and for a young team, the more reps that they're out there, the more learning that they can do, it only bodes well for their playoff success. And you recognize too. And here's, you know, a couple reasons for silver linings. One, we talked about Lions using it as a rallying cry. Can't wait to see it. Two, some guns are coming back. CeeDee Deuce, maybe he's active against the Vikings, maybe not. Maybe you want to save him for the Rams. You realize, okay, you know what? If he's not fully 100%, why risk it? As he's working his way back, acclimating, the Lions have been conservative in their approach. Hey, maybe he appears and gets a couple opportunities to get out there to give Ifeatu Melifonwu or Kirby Joseph a spell. We shall see. But Aleem McNeil, James Houston, CeeDee Deuce, all have an opportunity to be available for the Detroit Lions should they face the Rams or the Packers. And I think that really bodes well. I think that getting back to a regular routine this week will benefit the Lions, hopefully get a little bit healthier on the defensive side of the football. And finally, now you hope that over the next 2 weeks, two full weeks of practices, that some of the football stuff that's going on can be shored up, because there are some factors and here's some concerns and everybody sees it. Ben Johnson's play calling, a little bit head-scratching against the Cowboys. You recognize that the Cowboys, in their stout defense, are aggressive and pursue the football, yet you're drawing up these long, developing run plays that the Cowboys just kind of knew what to handle. They were there. They're flying to the football. I didn't think Ben Johnson's creativity and his run calls were that effective. I think it got better. I think that David Montgomery, when they started to lean on him a little bit in the second half, it definitely got there. But who's to say that if the Lions are a little bit more proficient in the first half, maybe the game is different. I think that another thing too is Jameson Williams. It is allowed for Jameson Williams to be targeted deep more than once. It is understandable the way in which he's used, bringing him along slowly, building his confidence. But in big games, you got to go to your weapons. And I know that the coach speak and the talk would be, well, the defense is not allowing it. They're very, you know, you can have turnovers and maybe the looks aren't exactly the way you want. Look, man, you got to make it happen. Look at CeeDee Lamb. Look at what he was able to do. You don't think that Aaron Glenn had CeeDee Lamb's name and picture in that film room? The defensive backs are rewinding and hitting that clicker. Look at CeeDee. Look what he can do. Back and forth, looking at him. He will hurt you. Looking at all his touchdowns. Oh, look, target this guy. Look what happened. Over 200 yards, over 15 catches. That's not the level of productivity you can expect now from Jameson Williams, but 16, you know, being between 20 and 70 yards every week is not enough. I think the Lions can potentially in the postseason make things a little bit easier on themselves if Jameson Williams is used a little bit more and is used in a way too to extend plays and used to in a way to have more explosives and to open things up. Sam Laporta took a little bit of time to get going, but he got going. Obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a go-to. You know your two running backs are stellar and that offensive line. But again, in crunch time, in big game, Lions offensive line in that first half, you hit that rewind button on some of that film, and Jared Goff is hitting the turf. It's not good. I think the play of the offensive line has kind of been inconsistent. And boy, did ESPN take their shots at Taylor Decker. They sure wanted the country to know. Marcus Spears, noted NFL analyst, noted Cowboy fans. Cowboy fan definitely wanted to take his opportunity to highlight all the plays this year in which Taylor Decker was beat. But it happened in the game against the Cowboys, in that some of the efforts of the offensive line were not we're not good enough, quite frankly, not elite. And that's the standard that this offensive line needs to be held to. And Jared Goff, I think that, again, the biggest concern that I would have, and if you're looking at it from, look, I understand if you're a fan of Jared Goff and you feel like, yeah, taking a chance on another quarterback would set this organization backwards. Look, I believe Jared Goff deserves to have this football team. He's the Lions quarterback. I could live with that. You could build enough around him to be successful. But Jared Goff, if you're going to start commanding $40 to $50 million in the biggest games, those two turnovers can't happen. Those moments in which you make those critical mistakes got to be eliminated. This is the reason why Sean McVay was left scratching his head and so frustrated, knowing that there's a talented individual, but in some key moments against good teams, makes a mistake. And yeah, Dan Campbell will downplay some of it as, you know, the players not being in the right spot, you know, tip passes, things like that. But Jared Goff can't make those mistakes, period. Those interceptions were costly. And it puts you in a position where you got to be scrambling late and you're forced to make plays later in the game. So Jared Goff, you know, in my mind, I think the fair compensation is about $35 million. I mean, obviously, the market, if you look at the fair market of what you see in the NFL, it's starting at Daniel Jones at $40 million. Would you do 3 years at $120 million? I obviously would go less. I'd go 3 years, $105 million. Or if you're bold and you're Brad Holmes, you know you have a deep personal relationship with Goff, you just let him play under the contract that he's got. No extension. You say, yeah, you get the playoff win. Yeah, you're our guy, but we have you under contract. We have the leverage. Yeah, Jared Goff might not be happy, but still getting paid, you know, at the level he's at, still good enough, but you still don't know what's going to happen with Ben Johnson. Is he going to leave? How does the offensive staff look? That is something that just would scare me away from giving Jared Goff $50 million. It just, I couldn't do it. And I don't think the Lions are going to do it. I think the number is going to fall somewhere between 35 and 40, $45 million a year at the high end. But we'll see how Jared Goff performs. He still has the opportunity. It's not close, not a closed deal. But if Jared Goff shines in the postseason, takes his game to the next level, you could argue that the single biggest factor that's going to determine the Lions' success is whether or not Jared Goff is stout and plays at a high level in the postseason. That could be the determining factor, especially if you're going to play the Rams. I'm curious this week to get the pulse of you guys and your support of the Lions and how you feel about Matthew Stafford coming in. I'm sensing about a decent to high amount of fear playing Matthew Stafford, and you should respect him, but I'm going to take the stance that I've always taken, which is, man, you got to be really on your P's and Q's defensively and force those interceptions. If that happens, then the Detroit Lions will be successful. So we'll see how it plays out and how it works out moving forward for the Detroit Lions. But a lot of good things coming up. Like I said, a lot of talk about the postseason, a lot of talk about how things are going to progress with the Detroit Lions football team, and we'll see how it evolves moving forward. Man, I look forward to seeing how this football team, you know, really performs in those critical moments. I'm sensing the fear. I'm sensing a lot of concern and nervousness from the supporters regarding Stafford. And, you know, it's tough because obviously you have the loyalty that you had to him before, but I think you have the weapons. I think you do have, indeed, you do have a fair shot to force some turnovers and to play at a very high level. Yeah, they're the hottest team in the NFL, the Los Angeles Rams, but maybe it'll shake out to be that you play the Packers and all the hype and the pre-playoff hype regarding the Lions and the Rams won't even happen. So we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out in regards to how the Lions are going to fare in the postseason. I can't wait. I can't wait to take this journey. I can't wait to see how much what the ceiling is going to be for this football team. Yeah, it's tough that we're sitting here today talking about the unfortunate situation with the officials, but I do think that good times are ahead for the Lions. And this week, we'll get back to a little bit of football, Dan Campbell's decision in regards to not going for it, not kicking the extra point. Look, quite frankly, I wouldn't have made that decision, especially from the 7-yard line, but there are a lot of good reasons that Dan Campbell did it, especially knowing that, okay, there is a situation in which you could further injure your team playing another quarter, but This week at All Lions, we'll take a deeper look at some of the decisions, what the national reactions have been, what the reactions of the players are as they head into the final week of the season. Thanks, everybody, for supporting All Lions. Make sure that you visit us daily by visiting si.com/NFL/Lions. Visit. All you got to do, type in Detroit Lions SI on Google. You'll quickly find our content with an insider analysis, highlights, videos from the Lions, and things like that. Thanks, everybody, for downloading the latest All Lions podcast. Happy New Year. It's going to be a great time ahead. Good time for the Detroit Lions moving forward. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. And I can't wait to check in again on the latest episode of the All Lions Bang the Table NFL Lions podcast.